to Crabby Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're best friends. Hey, Joss.
Hi.
How are you?
Better now since I took my bra off.
Yeah, girl. And that's like the true sign of friendship, listeners. You can take your bra off in front of your friend.
That's right.
That is like level 5. We had so much fun at the Strand.
Wish you guys could have been there.
Gosh,
what a blast.
We had so much, and we will be posting that live when we can figure out how to convert it
yes.
to an MP3 file.
I can do that.
Right? So we had a lot of fun with the beautiful Colleen Oakley.
Yes.
Quanah Jackson.
Hilarious.
And the incredibly talented Exie Sands.
Fantastic.
Book narrator supreme.
Yes.
And being at the Strand was such a thrill.
It was really nice. I'd never been there before, so I'd never seen the magnificence of the Strand.
Yeah.
The rare book room,
right.
The various floors.
Oh, gosh.
My
the
people.
Socks, right?
The socks! My people, if you have not gone to that bookstore, that is surely must be on your bucket list.
It's time.
Yeah.
It's time to go. So we had a great time, and we thank you, Strand, and also thank you to Sherman Travel,
yes,
the International Barclay Hotel,
yes,
and Pomp & Whimsy Gin.
The gin, which was delicious.
Because they sent one of our listeners up to see the podcast live.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Melissa. We had so much fun with you.
Yeah.
And it was just a grand night.
Yeah.
We had a
good time.
A really good time.
Yep.
But here we are, back with advice on the old crappy friends, or in this case, crappy relatives.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
So go ahead, Joss, read our letter this week.
Okay, so. Dear ladies, I have a sister who is 2 years younger than me, and suffice it to say, I pretty much hate her. We've been competing since she was born, and she's always the winner. Why? My mother likes her best. I know I sound like an 8-year-old, but I'm 40 and it still burns me. She lives 5 hours away, which would make you think it's tolerable, but no. My mother calls me every day to tell me how amazing Sharla,
not her real name,
is. The problem is Sharla is amazing, but only from a distance. She's a lawyer. She adopted a kid out of foster care. Mm. She does all sorts of pro bono cases. Meanwhile, I married a nice guy, have 2 nice kids, stay at home to raise them, and no one cares. If my sister was cool, it would be okay. But she's so holy and so judgmental, and everything I do is somehow wrong. Oh, you send your kids to private school? I think it's important for Christopher to be in the real world.
Mm.
Oh, you're still not working? How do you fill your day? And my mother, I know how indeed. And your mother, my mother, who lives 2 streets away from me, nods along like, yes, yes, Sharla is God. Why aren't you listening to her? Is it normal for a sister to try to make her own sister feel like crap? Is it normal for my mother to do the same thing, even though she and I get along whenever Charla's not around? What can I say to both of them? Or should I just say, screw it and move? Because sincerely, I am fed up. Signed, Fed Up in Ohio.
Wow.
That's good stuff.
That is the stuff of crappy relatives,
yes.
For sure.
I, too, have a Christ-like older sibling.
Mm.
So I understand this situation. I did make some notes because I do understand it. But,
go for it.
My feeling is fed up is that mom has pitted you and sis against each other.
Oh, yes.
She's made sis the favorite, which is not great for sis at all because she has a lot to live up to. And her expectations are high where you get to do whatever you want, fed up. And do you know what mom has been saying about you to younger sis there?
Mm-hmm.
You don't know. And I guarantee you, based on my experience, that mom has been saying stuff like, oh, Fed Up's kids are in private school, which makes younger sis feel like, well, I'm just sending my kid to public school. The hell am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? It's that sort of dynamic that happens. So Sharla may sound like she's just this big old bitch, but she's really, I believe, responding to your mother, who has pitted you two against each other since you were young. So my advice is this. Call up Sharla. And say, listen, I really regret that we're not closer in our relationship. I hate that we're so competitive. And I really admire you, and I'd really like for us to be closer. And if she responds positively to that, set up time to get together with her. I promise you, when you get together with this woman, you'll start talking about, oh, but mom says this about you. Mm-hmm. But wait, she says this about you too.
Yeah.
And the skies will clear. It'll be a whole new day.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say, Christine?
I say let's just pretend that I know a family who really resembles this with
okay.
two sisters.
Okay.
And one sister was always lauded to the other sister and vice versa. Uh-huh. And the sisters crackled together and had a lot of resentment toward each other uh-huh. because of what mom said.
Uh-huh.
And then one day the sisters did have a sit down and uh-huh. say, I don't know why you feel this way about me, mm-hmm. only to learn that mm-hmm. sister didn't feel that way exactly. about her.
Exactly.
That it was information being fed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm with Joss on this one. Mm-hmm. There's a drama mama in here,
mm-hmm.
and it's your mother
yes.
fed up in Ohio.
Yes.
And that she feeds off of both of you needing her approval.
Oh my God, exactly.
And the idea that when she creates drama, she gets to be the center of attention.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What do you mean she said this, mm-hmm. Mom? How could she resent the fact that I send my kids to private school when mm-hmm. she knows how we've scrimped and saved, mm-hmm, whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And that it's really a drama of your mother's creation.
Mm-hmm.
So when you circumvent the drama maker,
mm-hmm.
you take away her power.
Absolutely.
And it may well be that you and your sister have a really wonderful relationship ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be that you don't.
Right.
But if nothing else, this will clear the air.
Yes.
For you to say, I have so much respect for you mm-hmm. and all that you've done, and mm-hmm. I love my nephew and admire mm-hmm. how you've raised him. I just hate the fact that it always seems to be a compare and contrast situation.
Absolutely. Yep.
And see what she says.
I mean, that will be eye-opening for you. And yeah. if you guys can get away solo, no kids and no mom. This yeah. is sister's weekend away, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you guys can do that and spend that time getting to know each other as if you are strangers. Because in effect, you are. You only know bad things about each other. You yeah. really don't know the good things about this person, except from what's been filtered through mom.
Mm-hmm.
So spa, go to the movies, go to dinner, and just talk about yourself as if you were getting to know someone.
Yeah. I think, too, that there can be a lot of envy when you're outside looking in.
Right.
You know, so you're looking at Sharla,
mm-hmm.
and she's the lawyer who adopted a kid out of foster care, and she seems so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And she might be looking at you saying, like, oh, yeah, and there's fed up, and she right. married the world's nicest guy, and
right.
she has the world's nicest kids,
right.
and
right.
and everything is so normal mm-hmm. and easy for her,
mm-hmm.
and whereas I had to go to all these great lengths to establish myself,
right,
with advanced degrees and adoption and whatever,
all of that.
I think that this narrative is not being controlled by the right people.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I was it's not quite sibling, but I used to work in an office where our office manager did the same thing. She pitted coworkers against yeah. each other. And she was the one controlling the narrative, always. And one day, we all got together and we just started talking. And it was crazy how much, I never said that.
Right.
I never believed that.
Right.
I couldn't, it was all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, this particular manager ended up having to hastily retire because she had violated some HR stuff, and by doing what she had done,
mm-hmm.
like by pitting us all against each other. But it was an amazing learning experience to realize how we had all put our faith in one person
yes.
without trying to get to know our coworkers on a one-on-one without
right.
having to go through somebody.
I think it's really important where you get your source material.
Absolutely.
And if it's this one person, in this case your mom, who is telling you what the other thinks, you know, you could say, hey, I'm 40.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need you to
yep.
to tell me how Sharla thinks. She can tell me herself.
Right.
If you remove yourself from the drama and refuse to participate, you take away her power. And I would say that I'm guessing your mom feels increasingly irrelevant in life. Mm-hmm. She's got two grown daughters.
Yes.
One daughter is happily married with a couple of kids. One daughter is happily single, it sounds like, with one child. And that without her creating this, she is no longer important. Mm-hmm. She's no longer the one you turn to. Mm-hmm. She's no longer the one you cry on her shoulder, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't think your mom is being malicious as much as she's sort of fighting to retain the role of matriarch and sort of enjoying feeding the other information so she can stay in the center of the conversation. Mm-hmm. So you do call her up and say, Sharla said what? I can't believe that. Mom, why would she say that?
Right.
That kind of person feeds off being important.
Yep.
Feeds off being the mediator.
Right.
The peacekeeper.
Right.
When in fact, she's the instigator. She's
always the instigator.
And this family that I know quite well.
I know a similar family. Also very well.
One sister would say, Mom loves to stir the pot.
Oh, God, yes.
And it was true that this mother loved to have something to talk about, some drama going on. And that once the sisters circumvented Mom and said, why would you think that I would do that to you? And you find the common thread is, well, Mom said.
Right, right.
Then you realize, okay, we have a terrorist in our midst.
Yes.
You know, as loving and benign as your mom might think she is, she's creating drama where there doesn't need to be any.
Absolutely. And finding out that you have been wrong all along is such a relief.
Yeah.
I can't describe how good it feels to get this weight, because carrying around this, like, she hates me, I don't know what to do with her, that's such a burden.
Yeah.
And once you can let that go and even maybe be friends, it feels amazing.
Yeah.
It feels amazing.
It really does. And I think that, you know, if you want to have a good relationship with your sister, then Joss's advice is spot on. If you have reason to believe that your sister is a competitive shrew who wants to be held up as superior to you, take a big step back.
Big time. And I would also, you know, you may have to get together for family stuff. If she starts with the competitiveness, then this is not something I want to talk about. Let's change the subject.
Yeah.
If she continues, you're going to have to get up and leave every time.
And you can say, hey, you do what's right for Christopher and I'll do what's right for my kids.
Right.
And no one knows better than I do what's right for my kids. And no one knows what's better for Christopher than you. So go and God bless. And really kind of refuse to engage.
Definitely refuse to engage. And also do it with your mom. The minute she starts in, well, did you hear what Sharla or Sharla has done this? Say, you know what, Mom? I'm going to put a call into Sharla myself and hear it straight from the horse's mouth.
Right.
Shut it down right there. Because that, to me, that conduit is the toxic conduit.
Yeah.
So you want to shut that down regardless of what happens between you and Sharla.
Yeah. And I'll say, you know, like, I have a wonderful mom and my readers love her. And certainly I love her. But a long time ago, my sister and I made a pact that we talked to each other first. And just so there's no interpretation malfunctions, there's no spin, there's no, well, when you said this, I thought you meant that, so that's what I told your sister.
Right.
It makes things a lot more straightforward.
It really does.
And my sister is the best person in the world, and I adore her, and she adores me, and like, we have each other the way nobody has each other, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a sister's first.
Yeah.
Because we did find for a time that there was miscommunication via maternal interpretation, right? And that created some slight friction that really didn't exist in the real world. Circumvent the problem.
Yeah.
Go around your mom. Give your sister the respect she deserves and hope that you'll get it back. If you don't, it's completely okay for you to say, hey, I'm so glad about Sharla. Don't really want to talk about her mom.
Right. It absolutely is. Set those boundaries.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that you and your sister will connect in a different way. And I'd love to hear back. If you take this advice and it ends up working out, every experience I've witnessed of this particular type of situation, it always does work out that way.
Yeah.
The minute you remove the middleman, things come together nicely.
And again, the middleman can be super well-meaning.
Yeah.
And trying to soften a statement that she thinks might hurt you, whereas, you know, you and your sister might not need that. You're grown-ass women.
You are, but you never really had the chance to create a relationship. Mm-hmm. And this is a great opportunity for you to do it now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you should jump on that and then let us know what happens.
Yes, absolutely. Please write that.
Yeah.
So, Jess, we have a follow-up.
I'm really excited about this follow-up.
I love this follow-up.
Yeah.
So this is the follow-up to Inside the Chaos, I believe our episode was called. And this was from the friend who owned the fact that she was a mess during her divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And she described so poetically and beautifully how difficult it was to concentrate, to function in the wake of her divorce, her whole world changing.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote us back
after
the episode. So we love that. So, dear ladies, so I'm lying in bed last night after a long day in the heat holding a garage sale, downsizing again for a major life mood. I'm going through my podcast list, seeing what I missed during this busy time. I see Crappy Friends has a new show, and I click on Flailing Friends. Oh, that was the name of the episode.
Flailing Friends.
So I'm listening and thinking, oh my God, this sounds so much like the grief I went through. It's so spot on. I didn't even recognize my own words at first. In fact, I'd forgotten I wrote a response to you two about poor Safira.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I burst into tears because my whole story makes me sad still. It did take me more like 6 years to get a mighty grip on myself. I can look back now and see the perfect storm that had brewed in my life. The cheating divorce, my youngest leaving home for college, then the army, 2 tours in the Middle East.
Wow.
Leaving my house, gardens, friends, moving to another state and starting all over, and knee surgeries. I quickly ended up in a women's center for group therapy, and the therapist running the program was so kind to me. She felt I had checked off too much on the trauma checklist at one time, possibly had situational depression, etc. I even ended up in the hospital for a possible heart attack. No, just a strained diaphragm. Anywho, I have made it through many years of rubber band snapping, and I truly enjoy the new life I've created for me. Just for me this time. And no one can take it away. It's been 12 years or so since Atlanta and when I had to make a move. And guess what? I'm moving again to a brand new house in a historic town with lots of cool things to do. Ticks off another bucket list item. But wow, hearing that letter was like another message from God, and it was like reassurance in spite of my what's going to happen anxiety that everything's going to be okay, even if it's hard and sweaty and a poop load of work. You know, I've been a fan for a long time, and I have to say my book, Love, and Romancelandia Friends have been the buoy in my rough waters, and have cared for me well. Thank you very much for being a conduit for my latest answer from the big dog in the sky. Hope to catch you both at some romance event soon. Love from your biggest, but not in a stalkery way, fan.
I love that, how like destiny sort of came to remind her.
Yeah.
I love when things happen that way. It's so coincidental. It's like everything aligns and you get that great reminder that, that you're still on the right track.
You're still on the right track, even if it's not the track you ever envisioned.
Right, right.
And that life has a way of, you know, chewing you up and spitting you out in the place where you belong.
Yeah.
And the chewing up part sucks.
Yeah.
You know, let's not take away all that you suffered and went through and endured. But you made it.
Yeah.
And you're doing great. And I think the message here is, hang on. You know, take care of yourself. Get the help that you need.
Yeah.
You mentioned therapy, and you know what big fans we are of therapy.
Yeah.
And you'll find yourself waking up happy one day.
Yeah. I mean, and it comes along kind of slowly.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like the movies where one day you're just like, I'm over this, and I feel great. And so one day you do feel, like, really good. And you don't know why, but it's all this hard work that you've done the months before to get better.
All the little indignities and sob fests and and binge eating or Chardonnay drinking or whatever, you know. And yet it gets you to a point where you can really say, I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
And I kind of like where I am now. Right. So thank you for writing back. We're so happy to hear from you. And and listeners, if you have written us a letter, we would love to hear from you again.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to Crappy Friends. Don't forget to subscribe to Crappy Friends and consider leaving us a review. Email us your friend stories at theladies@crappyfriends.net. I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Just A.
And we're best friends
forever.